A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, accosted him, seized him, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses who testified, "This man never stops saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him claim that this Jesus the Nazarene will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us." All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. The word of the Lord. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Though princes meet and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Yes, your decrees are my delight. They are my counselors. I declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous deeds. Remove from me the way of falsehood, and favor me with your law. The way of truth I have chosen. I have set your ordinances before me.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. Verbum Domini. I always like the Sisters of Life publication in print because they have real life stories of faith and how it impacts people and changes and assists them in their struggles in their life. And so in the issue they had about the Eucharistic revival, they had this story written by a friend of theirs. They call her a dear friend, Gina. And Gina was talking about how she was not able to set foot in a church because of a trauma that she had suffered. And she said she was so deeply hurt. She was trying to make her way back to the sacraments, but it was a process full of anxiety. And so as she's struggling with this, she's wanting to return to the sacraments, to church. She said that she went to bed one night. It was a cold winter night, turned off the light, was about to doze off to sleep, when I heard a quiet, still voice in my heart say, "Come to me, come to me." The pull was so strong, my heart couldn't say no. So I dragged myself out of bed and drove to an adoration chapel near my house. I slumped at the back pew. I didn't know why I was there. I knew Jesus wanted me there. It was very simple. I just sat there. I knew I didn't have to prove anything. I didn't have to say anything. I didn't have to do anything. I could just sit and be with Jesus and let him love me. I was there for about an hour. The next night, the same thing happened. I felt Jesus say in my heart, "Come to me." So I went again. The third night happened again. And I continued to go night after night. And then she concluded by saying, "In Eucharistic adoration, I encountered Jesus on a very personal level." You want to grow in your intimacy with the Lord? Spend time in adoration, encountering him on a very personal level. She continued, "The most honest and real I've ever been in my life has been sitting in front of Jesus in Eucharistic adoration," that we can put on masks as we relate with one another. But before the Lord, we can be who we are, honest, real, with our pains, with our struggles, with our questions. And she said that she called out to him, "Why did this happen?" And he's not afraid for us to ask those questions. "I personally experienced," she said, "a freedom the world cannot offer when I sat at his feet in adoration and shared my heart with him. Sometimes at adoration, I don't hear anything back. Sometimes he answers without words. And sometimes he answers later, but he always answers. Jesus is there. He is there. He is available. And he is ever present. And he hears each of us and wants to heal us with his truth and love. All we need to do is respond to that still, small voice, 'Come to me.'" And in these days, we are reading through John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse, where our Lord speaks about this wonderful reality that he's going to give, hard for them to comprehend at the time that he delivered this in Capernaum, but nonetheless true. And later they would understand more deeply this truth that he would convey there in the synagogue in Capernaum. And there's a beautiful meditation in today's Magnificat, I encourage you, if you get that publication, to read today by St. Augustine. And St. Augustine is pointing out a distinction. He's talking about, well, we can believe Christ, we can believe his words, but even bad men can believe some of the things that he says. So when he says, love your neighbors yourself, well, yeah, I could see. I don't want people to hurt me, so I'm not going to hurt them. Even bad people could come to that conclusion and believe Christ and what he says, for example, there. And even the demons believed he was a Christ. You are the Christ, they called out. But only those, and he says, those are not sufficient. But we're called to do what the Lord said in today's gospel, that he says, this is the work of God. They said, well, what are we to do to accomplish the works of God? Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. That's the work. Believe in the one he sent. And so here's what Augustine says about that word in. Don't imagine it's enough for you to believe Christ. That is, to believe that the things Christ says are true. Of course we do. Don't imagine it's enough for you to believe that Christ is himself the one whom God foretold through the prophets. Of course, that's true. But believe in Christ. That is, love Christ. When you've believed in Christ like that, so that you have that kind of ardent love for Christ, see if you won't be able to make these words your own. St. Paul to the Romans, who shall separate us from the love of God? And Augustine concludes, so don't waste time wondering how to do what Christ commands. You cannot not do it if you love Christ. Love and you do it. Isn't that a beautiful, simple reflection from Augustine? To believe in Christ. What are we to do to accomplish the works of God? The people asked Jesus. Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. And Augustine says, this means to love Christ, to love him ardently. And when we do so, then we can say with Paul, who can separate me from the love of Christ? And that's the great gift that he gives us in the Eucharist to enable us to do that. I saw there's going to be a new film coming out in June. It's going to be in the theaters, actually, June 4th, 5th, and 6th. And I saw the lineup of some of the people that are going to be part of that, some that you've seen, many of them you've seen on EWTN. It's a film called Jesus Thirsts. And so I watched a trailer for it early this morning. And this trailer has quotes from J.R.R. Tolkien. Do you know who Tolkien is? He wrote the Lord of the Rings series. Devout Catholic, would go to daily mass. One of his sons became a priest, in fact. And so they have, as this trailer, the words in the background of Tolkien. Here's what he wrote to one of his sons. Out of the darkness of my life, so much frustrated, I put before you the one great thing to love on earth, the Blessed Sacrament. There you will find romance, glory, honor, fidelity, and the true way of all your loves on earth. In fact, later in that same letter, he said this. He said, this alone can what you seek for your earthly relationships, only by this alone, love, faithfulness, and joy, can it be maintained. So you want your earthly relationships to have love, faithfulness, and joy? The only way you can maintain that, he holds, or take on the complexion of that reality of eternal endurance, is through frequent Holy Communion, which every man's heart desires. Everyone desires this. John Paul II said, this is what the heart of every man and woman, even unconsciously, yearns for, even if they don't know it. This is what they're yearning for, this kind of communion of love with the one who is love himself. This is something that is even worth dying for, as we see the figure of Saint Stephen, who in so many ways reflects and imitates the life of Jesus. And so he is accused of being against Moses, speaking against Moses. Well, do you remember in Exodus 34, when Moses came after speaking with God, he comes down the mountain. His face, his skin of his face is shining. It's radiant, so much so the people are frightened, and he would cover his face with a veil. Well, think about that. And what does today's reading conclude with? All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked at him intently and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So there was a radiance, there was a glory about it. And then think about Jesus, too, on the Mount of the Transfiguration, that Matthew relates that his face became like the sun. His face became like the sun. And so God is testifying on behalf, silently testifying to Deacon Stephen, Saint Stephen's words, by manifesting heavenly glory on his face. When I read that, I couldn't help but think of one of our Franciscan saints, a patroness for the Third Order of Saint Francis, Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. And so on November 17th, we always have in the Office of Readings, relating of her life by her spiritual director, Conrad of Marburg. So he knew her well. He knew her life well. And here's what he wrote about Elizabeth of Hungary. And she was one who had done all of these works. She had all of these means at her disposal, riches and so on, and she used them to serve the poor with her own hands, to feed the hungry, to build hospitals, and those sorts of things. And so he wrote, he said, over and above all this, I speak before God. So in other words, he's making an oath. Over and above all of this, I speak before God. I've rarely seen a woman more absorbed in contemplation. Religious men and women frequently saw her coming from private prayer with her face glowing with a marvelous radiance and rays of light flashing from her eyes like the rays of the sun. So even in the saints, we depict them with halos often because of this radiance of glory already evident in their lives. And you see, when we go before the sun, S-O-N, in adoration, we're being affected by that. We're getting here, in the northern hemisphere, that we're getting closer to the summertime. People go to the beach and they get a suntan. They're affected by the sun. But there's a much more beautiful radiance that comes from being before the S-O-N sun, the Son of God, receiving him in the Holy Eucharist, spending time in adoration, that we are changed by that. We do really actually become more radiant with the light and the love of God in our lives. And people are affected by that, even if we don't see it. Living in a state of grace, we are radiating something of God's glory because the indwelling presence of the Blessed Trinity. And the more that life grows, the more that we believe in Christ, as Augustine says, which means to love Christ ardently, the more that we will say with St. Paul, well, who can separate me from the love of Christ. The more our life is being transformed, transfigured, as it was for St. Stephen. And so St. Stephen, we will hear tomorrow that as he's being stoned to death, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." He sees the glory of the Lord Jesus now in glory. And he prays, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So let us realize, dear people, we are never orphans. We are never alone in the troubles of this world. There's always a refuge. There's always a place where we can find a heart that waits for us. As this woman, Gina, puts it, Jesus is there. He is there. He is available. And he is ever present. And he hears each of us. And he wants to heal us with his truth and love. All we need to do is respond to that still, small voice, "Come to me."